Hello friends and welcome to the latest episode of the Kings of Anglia podcast, Ipswich Town, brought to you in association with johnbanks.co.uk. I've forgotten my promo reads, so I'm going to have to freestyle them. It's been a long time. We should have left you without a dope beat to Scepter. Rakeem? No. Blank faces. None of you are urban
I've
at all.
I've got no idea what you're on about.
My name, as ever, Mark Heath, your host.
You live in Woolpit, mate. What's that all
about? MC Roundhouse, Hampstead, Clifford, Heath.
Are you embracing all those now?
I like the names. I like the names. And with me, as always, the dynamic duo themselves, Stuart, the Doctor, Stephen Watson.
Hello.
Steve.
Good to see you, mate.
Hello. Good to have us all back together.
It's been a little while, as I alluded to at the start. And on my left hand, the man referred to as like a pet rabbit in one of our iTunes reviews.
Is that good?
I don't know. I like rabbits.
Okay.
I used to have a rabbit called Fiver. Lovely chap.
Good what?
Fiver.
Fiver.
Because that's how much it cost. and also, it's my favourite character in Watership Down. So there you go. But anyway, Andy, the Hutchman, Alfred Hutchcock, Michael Hutchins, Warren. How are you?
You're bringing some fire up. We've just smashed the McDonald's breakfast, yeah. So I'm, for time being at least, on top of the world. The McGilts will come in later.
I'm pepped up on goofballs, chemicals in that sausage egg McMuffin. Tremendous. Chats, how are we?
Good.
As I say, it's been a long time. Me and Hutchie recorded a post-Norwich podcast, which seems about 4 years ago now.
It does.
Ipswich Town have played twice since then, which we'll come on to shortly. But first of all, let's address the elephant in the room, because boys, you've been cheating on me again. And like a wife who just can't let it go, I'm hoping you still love me. I hope you notice I'm wearing an expensive aftershave today and wearing tighter trousers. Is it enough though? That's what I want to know, because you've been moonlighting with a certain long-haired lover from Liverpool, Benjamin Bloom Button.
He went to Chantry High School.
On his live show.
Stoke, actually.
Blue Monday on Saturday.
Yeah, we did.
How was it? Explain yourself.
Well, we were given the invite, and we felt it was good for the brand, Mark, to get us out there and spread the word about what we do. That was the idea behind it.
That's Andy, the line.
Yeah, that was the idea. It was also fun.
That's the line. Yeah.
I had a really good time, sorry.
Yeah, good. I assume, obviously, for a good cause, all the money went to charity.
Didn't pocket any of my fee.
You had no fee. So that was
of course
very
we didn't.
No win, no fee.
Of course we didn't.
Yeah. So you had no fee. But just run us through it. I mean, obviously, as I say, I'm joking, of course. I am extremely jealous of Benjamin Bloom. It's very nice of you to lower yourself to the second best History Town podcast out there for a start. But just to explain what you did. It was a live event at the Curve Bar.
Yep.
Packed with Town fans.
Yep.
Probably all massive
really good
fans of this show. So what did you do? What was the format?
We rocked up there. We were a little bit late because obviously we were doing our post-match stuff after the game. But we got there. They'd hired out the top room above Curve Bar. I think there was about 100 fans there. And they'd set up a little stage and some lighting. And they did their various segments of their podcast. And we got up for a little Q&A at one stage. Mm-hmm. It was a really well-organised night. So well done to the guys.
I did the quiz.
Did you win the quiz?
I came second in the quiz to Harry. Harry from Bath won
Harry
the
from
quiz.
Bath, yeah.
I think I acquitted myself well. It was one of those quizzes that came down to, we can reward loads of points for this last question, so anyone can win. Mm, I was the clubhouse leader going into the last question.
And what was the last question?
Can't remember.
I was trying to help.
I remember the last question. The last question was how long their most recent podcast was.
Mm-hmm.
To the very second.
And how long was it?
Well, I can't remember, but everybody else that was in the
Too
quiz
long,
was on it, was on that podcast.
Oh, okay, that seems slightly unfair.
Well, it wasn't designed, it's not all about me, it's about me winning, is it?
Yeah.
I spelled Lukas Zukovic right, which is the real quiz.
And you dropped some knowledge bombs on him as well, Stu, you were telling me, you dropped a little bit of behind the scenes knowledge.
I think the bit that people enjoyed most from our segment was the little Lambert story about what he had to say about our feathered friends from up the road when Andy and I first met them. I think I can tell this story now,
yeah,
because the derby's been and gone and what happened, so I don't think I'm breaking any confidences here. But when we first met Lambert a few days into the job, he asked Andy and I off the record, you know, why are we in this situation, what's this apathy all about? And we sort of said, well, it's about the cup run, it's also about 10 years without a win against Norwich. And the first mention of the N-word, he scowled and said, we need to take those bleep down a peg or two.
What bleep? Starts with what?
We allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, man. Go for it.
We need to take... Really?
Yeah, why not?
We need to take those fuckers down a peg or two. That was the Paul Lambert quote, so...
Drop in F-bombs. That's for you, Martin.
The room enjoyed that little anecdote, I think.
Yeah, it was good. Now then, obviously, awkwardly, I wasn't invited. I can only assume I would have brought too much quality for the occasion.
Yeah.
No professionals.
No, exactly. Professionals, mate. I was actually doing professional broadcasting elsewhere in the evening, calling fights in Norwich. But yeah, so it was a good night. Did you meet any of our guys that we see on Twitter on there?
Yes.
We know only by their Twitter handles.
Yes, we did.
Who did you meet?
I know what Tricky McTrickerson's real name is now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Do you?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
John.
Close.
He is close.
Johnny?
Not that close.
Jim?
This could take all day.
Yeah.
It's Justin.
Oh, Justin. Okay. Good lad.
Who else? Yeah, good lad. Yeah, very
met
much
Harvey,
so.
Harvey Davis.
I like Harvey.
Harvey had a picture, asked for a picture with me.
Did he?
And he's only posing for bloody pictures.
Oh, he's doing selfies.
Yeah. Oh, that made me feel very, very tall until somebody who I don't know came up to me and told me that I look a lot smaller in real life than I do on video.
Oh, okay.
So that was nice as well.
But it was a good crowd.
Very good, yeah.
Daryl was there, of course.
Our friend. We must mention, of course. I think since the last pod, he's been in and dropped us off another care package from America.
Yeah, chocolate this time. Yeah.
Chocolate. And when I say it's a package, I mean, we're talking a lot of chocolate in there.
The size of it is like a boot bag. Mm. It's essentially a boot bag, a zipped-up boot bag, packed to the brim with American confectionery.
It is rand. I mean, you've already started on the milk duds.
You were, yeah.
They were left aside for you.
I had a couple, yeah. Ross finished them off, of course.
Of course he did.
I must confess, me and the big porker, Mike Bacon, shared a three Musketeers, which...
What?
You've not really missed out there, my friends. It's essentially like a Milky Way. It's an American version of Milky Way.
Okay.
That sounds really nice. Okay. I feel like I've missed out.
I'll bring you one back from America next time I go. So, boys, yeah, any other things to mention before we get into the football? What else you've been up to? Don't tell me you've not done anything since we last spoke, because you've had 2 weeks, Stuart Watson. If you have not done anything in 2 weeks, I feel sorry for you. You've bought a new car, is what you've done.
A new car, yeah.
Got the whip, got the SUV.
Yeah.
Doesn't even need a key to drive his car anymore.
That's how I roll.
Just puts his thing in his pocket and off we go. Hutchie, you've had a couple of days off. You've been on the coast and at Framlingham Castle, Ed Sheeran's favourite gaff.
Yes.
Good?
Yep, good castle. As I was telling you before we came on, still fit for use. Stu has other ideas, but I think you could still use that castle for all sorts of good and bad.
Castles don't work in modern day
nonsense.
Warfare, just get a tank and blow the shit out of it. I mean, that would be it.
Well, I'd just send out my troll, because all castles seem to have like a pet massive troll.
Going to get mullered by a tank.
You haven't seen the troll.
It's a heavily armoured troll.
Fine.
Heavily armoured troll. What else? Before we get on to the football, shall we start the football? Shall we talk about the football?
Yeah, let's do that.
I know Dr. Watson's always keen to get on to the football, so let's start. So since we last spoke, me and Hucks last spoke, because Stu, where are you, Stu? You're off, aren't you?
Yeah, just having a day off.
Day off, that's it. Very rare day off on a Monday. Town have played two games, and they're unbeaten. Hooray! They've not won either, but
no.
they've drawn 1-1 with Derby in the midweek,
yep.
Which is unusual, because... Okay, we're just being told the studio's booked at 11, which is going to be a bit of an issue for us because it's 5 to 11 now.
Who could possibly be able to override our booking and presence in this studio?
What else goes on in here that's anywhere near as important as the Kings of Anglia podcast?
I guarantee it's not.
Absolute joke.
So, boys, what are we going to do about that? Are we going to have to stop recording and pick it up elsewhere? Or do we just plough on, and when someone tries to come in, we flip them the bird?
Let's just plough on. It might be entertaining. Who knows who's coming in?
Exactly. It could be someone important.
They could come and join in the podcast.
Not sure about that. Anyway, so Town 1-1 with Derby last midweek, which is unusual because, to be fair, Town normally beat Derby. I can say that as a Derby fan.
Not at Portman Road, they don't.
Mm.
Away from home, although that ended last year, but at Portman Road, I think they'd lost 4 on the spin against Derby going into Wednesday, but full value for their point. Good game that, wasn't it?
A brief review, obviously it was like a week ago, but John Nolan came on, scored with his first touch.
Second
touch.
I mistakenly thought it
might
was
been
his first
his, I think it might have been his third touch, actually.
Okay. So you've got
I think
errors all over the shop in your
so
report,
many
mate.
Errors, yeah.
Absolutely. But obviously I wasn't there, but from reading your reports and watching your videos, it sounded like an extremely positive point, good performance.
Yep. Yeah.
Against a team that are right up there.
It could have been. I think there was a collective fear that after going behind after 2 minutes that the floodgates may open a little bit, but they didn't. They were brave. They stood up to the challenge and didn't fold, which the easy thing to do would have been to completely fold, much like at Norwich a few days earlier. The easy thing to do would have been to fold, but they didn't. They battled back, and in the end, yeah, good value for the point.
So that was all very good indeed. Probably unexpected against a team, as I say, team kind of up there towards the top. And then Stoke at the weekend, on paper, looked potentially an easier winnable game. But it took a Will Keane last minute header to come away with a point again. I mean, what are your thoughts on that game?
On paper, it depends which bit of paper you're looking at. If you're looking at the form table, then it was a winnable game.
That's the bit I was looking at.
But if you then look at the team sheet...
I wasn't looking at the team sheet.
Some of the...
I was dealing with form.
Okay. But the just man for man, the players on the team sheet it's ridiculous. Some of the players.
They're pre-season, not only promotion favourites but title favourites. I think for a reason. Stoke, like you say, Ince, crikey, go through that team. I'm trying to think now who was.
You got England goalkeeper in goal, Jack Butland,
and then who played at the World Cup for Nigeria and cost a few bob last summer.
Ryan Shawcross and Ashley Williams on the bench, two international centre backs.
Yeah.
Joe Allen in there.
A Phoebe came on as well. Listen, the Stoke game wasn't as good as the Derby game. It all felt a little bit flatter, but I think that's understandable given the energy, both physical and emotional, that went into the Derby day. High intensity performance against Derby. So for that game to come at the end of that week, to come away with a point again, which was deserved, I think they were value for that point. But was a good result.
In terms of the games, I mean, obviously Town came from behind both times, which is not something we've seen a lot of this season. Normally, when they go 1-0 down, you think, oh, sit, they're not going to score. So to actually come from behind both games, and particularly with a last minute leveler as well, shows the team are kind of certainly playing for Lambert, and there are reasons to be positive as we move into the next two games, which are the biggest games since the last two games, the biggest two games we've had all this season. It's essentially the season encapsulated in the next two games, win or go home, or go down in this case, which we'll talk about a bit later on. But shall we do some mailbag first? Do you want to get straight into that? Or do you want to do a Mark's big question?
Do a Mark's big question.
Let's do a bit of Mark's big question before we are ejected.
Okay. I'm not asking you for numbers this week because I think with our new sponsor, this is the first time we've been able to do this, johnbanks.co.uk. If you're new or used vehicles, go to johnbanks.co.uk. I want to know, boys, on the theme of, what was your first car?
My first car?
Yeah.
Do we include, like, driving your parents' car?
No, the first car that you actually paid for and owned or bought.
I had a Peugeot 206.
Yes, so did I!
Silver. Man, that thing had some dents in it towards the end.
So is this one you bought for yourself, or was this one that you bought?
Yeah, this is... No, this, yeah.
So what kind of age are we talking?
How old was I? So post-uni, I'd have been 21.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was when I first started working.
Do you remember how much you bought it for?
Oh, no. I can't remember, no.
Were your electrics on that car appalling?
Everything about that car was appalling.
I had the same car, but in some kind of green. I'd say it was maybe ocean green.
Yeah.
Ocean
the electrics are just awful. I had to have the... at one stage, for the lights to work, you had to have the heating on. because the whole electrics system wouldn't function if it was cold. So you had to put the heating on full blast to heat up the... Which was very risky, because sometimes the lights just went out. But you could hold on, you could hold full beam on, and that would always work. So
driving with a sense of danger.
So that's
my
fine.
Memory of that car was you could sneeze near it and it would have a dent in it. So the bodywork on it was like that. And I remember the handbrake increasingly got stretched, and it got to the point where you had to basically pull it vertically to for it to be stationary.
Yeah.
So if you left it on any kind of incline, there was a chance that it wouldn't be there when you came back.
Peril. We're talking tape decks, we're talking CD players, can you remember?
Tape deck in mine.
Yeah.
Must have been a tape deck, I guess, around that time. I can't remember, I don't know that for sure.
How long did you thrash him for? Because if it's anything like my first car, I did many, many miles in it before I could finally afford to change it.
I commuted in that from Birmingham to Worcester for quite a few years, and then I think it I think it gave up on me when I moved to Swindon. So maybe 3 years, maybe got 3 years out of that. We're going to be thrown out, aren't we?
I think so.
Let's just carry on.
Let's see if they'll be brave enough to knock on the door. my first car was a Vauxhall Corsa 1.2 Maroon, which I bought when I first started work in this place, 2003. It's the first car I ever bought. It was, I can't remember how much it was actually, it wasn't very expensive. And I thrashed it for many, many years before I finally had enough bunts to exchange it and get a new one. Two stories that stick out. One, it almost killed me. One time I used to do night shifts when I was on the news desk. I was driving home, about 1 a.m. it was. And I realised the brake wasn't working anymore. And basically the revs was just stuck on full. And so when I tried to stop a red light, I couldn't. I was putting my foot on the brake and the car was like... and we were just driving on. So I had, literally, the only way you could stop the car was to turn the engine off. And this was towards the end of its natural life. But I managed to get near my parents and essentially had to do a handbrake turn into their drive and turn the engine off at the same time. So we almost just saw on it the peril. I was so lucky it was light, because had that been like normal commuting hours, I would have crashed into something.
Oh man,
there was no chance.
And that just happened happened on that journey. It just
stuck on. It was so old, it was knackered, mate. And the guy came out to see it the next day, said, "Yeah, this is stuck down, basically something under the bonnet. There's no reason. There's no way you could have stopped the car." So, wow. So that was good fun. And the other thing is, I remember the first time, you know, I'm a big food fan. The first time we ever went, I took my wife for a Michelin starred meal, was at Claridge's in London. Beautiful meal, by the way. I'll talk to you about it sometime. But we stayed in a very posh hotel just down the road in Knightsbridge, the Hilton, at Grosvenor Square. And it's one of these, I didn't realise, it's one of these things where you pull up and they've got a guy who takes your car and parks it for you. So we pull in, it's like a little road outside this. I don't know if you've ever been to Grosvenor Square, it's extremely posh. Extremely posh. Anyway, this hotel, we're talking 330 quid a night rooms. That's how we were rolling back then. Anyway, so we pull up, in front of us, I'm not joking, there's a Maserati and there's like a pimped out Range Rover, and then there's this knackered old Vauxhall Corsa with me and the wife in it. And it's literally at this point, it's so old, it's actually vibrating when we're driving. And so the two incredibly rich cars get driven off. We pull up. And the guy comes out, and you should have seen the valet. You should have seen the look he gave us. Like, is this a joke? I think he was looking around for a camera. I gave him the key, and I swear he was sort of dangling it like this, like, oh. He got in it and drove it off, and it kind of bounced down the road, and you think, I bet that's the shittest car he's ever had to park in his entire life. Probably just drove it into a wall. I wouldn't have noticed. that was fun times with my first car. As I say, if you want a new or indeed used vehicle, don't get my old Vauxhall Corsa. Go to johnbanks.co.uk right now and support them, because they support us and we very much appreciate it.
Look out for their ride and drive events as well.
Yes, Hutch, exactly.
Motorbikes, they'll do your motorbike as well.
They do. It's not just about Hondas, it's cars and motorbikes. Boys, we now face an impasse, because there's people outside the room who I think want to come in.
They're not going to come and knock, though.
But don't appear to be bold enough to knock on the door. We're now some way past 11 o'clock. So do we plough on and flip them the proverbial finger?
I've got a suggestion. Why don't we do part two later? Because I believe there's some Lambert fine FA news about to come out. So we should probably react to that online. Is it breaking news? Yeah.
Breaking news, just tell me what it is.
How many
games? Ipswich Town boss Paul Lambert has been handed a two-match touchline ban and fined £3,000 following a misconduct charge from the FA after his red card at Tarrant.
Perfect time for a break. We'll be back with you shortly. Okay, we are back. Let me set the scene for you before we get going. So we are now relocated to what we call the boot room. Other people here would call it the shower room, because that is literally where we are. Right behind me as we speak is a shower. Someone's clearly been in not too long ago because it smells fresh. Stu and Andy are perched on what would be the kind of the peg changing area.
Just going to prove that it's the shower.
She's going to have a shower live.
That's going to backfire.
I think you might need to turn this on, mate.
No, that's the emergency. Oh, good God, don't pull that.
Does the shower
even There's a few flannels hanging up here.
There's another thing that turns the shower on. I reckon it is.
Don't do it. No, that's the panic cord. Do you ever do that in a hotel where you pull what you think's the light switch and it's the panic cord?
Yeah,
no, it never comes.
It's that great episode of IT Crowd, isn't it? When Roy falls over in the toilet and accidentally pulls the disabled cord and then has to pretend he's in a wheelchair the whole time. Anyway, I digress. We've relocated. Hopefully the audio in here is not too bad. As I say, we are actually literally in a shower room. Stop taking your shirt off. There's no need. What is that?
The sprinkler.
I've no idea. Hopefully that doesn't go off while we're in here. And also, I'm sure people walking by will be wondering why there's three blokes chatting in the shower room. But they know we're all very, very good friends indeed, so it probably won't be that much of a surprise. Chaps, before we ceased, I was telling my incredible, entertaining story about my first ever car. We also paused on some breaking news. Paul Lambert hit with a touchline ban and a fine, and both clubs, Ipswich and Norwich, handed hefty fines for their part in what laughably is called the Derby Day Brawl. More of a scuffle, general handbags. But does one of you just want to bring us up to speed on exactly what's happened there? Hutchie, you wrote the story, so do you want to go with that?
I think you've summed it up quite nicely, though. Two game touchline ban for Lambert, that comes into effect immediately, so he's in the stands at Wigan and at home to Reading. £3,000 fine for Lambert, £20,000 fine for Ipswich, £25,000 for Norwich, which is slightly higher due to their historic record of doing this kind of thing a few more times than Ipswich have in the past. But interestingly, they've also kind of chucked in there was a late brawl sparked by a Flynn Downs tackle in the 90th minute. That's kind of been brought into this as well. But yeah, Lambert in the stands for two really big games now and leaving his trusty lieutenant Stuart Taylor on the touchline.
Shall we talk about, we obviously normally tend to talk about the game ahead at the end of the podcast, but should we talk about those now? Because obviously these are two huge games. We're going to weigh Reading at home, which you think would define the rest of the season. And kind of determine whether the town have any chance at all of staying up. Now Lambert's going to be on the touchline, not going to be on the touchline for both those games. Their emotional leader won't be there barking out orders, as it were. What do you think about the possible impact of that on these on these two massive games?
I think it's bigger for Ipswich than it might have been under other managers and for other clubs with different managers, isn't it?
Yes, we've seen how much energy Paul brings to the touchline, not just for the players, but for the crowd as well, particularly for the Reading game. I think the crowd feed off of his energy, prowling up and down, leaping about. But, you know, they might use that as a bit of a motivational tool in the team talk beforehand and use that as a bit of a feeling a bit wronged by the situation. You never know. I mean, Stuart Taylor has got just as much energy. I think, you know, sometimes you see a manager and an assistant and one has a certain persona and the other one's a bit quieter, but Stuart Taylor, he was right in the thick of all that East Anglian derby stuff. He's leaping about at the full-time whistle along with Lambert. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's not ideal for these two games. I have seen a few people saying, well, what were we not naive to appeal this and try and delay it so that it tactically just...
Yeah.
So that he was available for at least one of these games. I think Andy looked at it. Precedent suggests that even if you do appeal, I don't think it changes the time frame of things. I think they would have dealt with it just as quickly. So, of course, if they had appealed, sometimes that carries the risk of them slapping another game on top of it. So that's probably why they didn't.
Okay. We'll return maybe just towards the end of the podcast, just for a look ahead at those two games and predictions perhaps. But let's hit the mailbag now, boys, because we've got a lot and we are now pressed for time. Stu has an appointment with Big Trev at the press conference and obviously Lambo himself. So let's hit the mailbag. Harry Butcher, first question. How do you feel about the Hutch? I went very Derby there. I went all Northern. How do you feel about Hutch and the Doctor going off to the Blue Monday podcast? I feel betrayed myself. Harry, solidarity, brother. As I say, I'm hoping they still love me, but I'm not convinced. They keep sending me pictures of Benjamin Bloom.
Of course we love you. The Hooch sounds like that alcoholic drink for teenagers back in the day.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. Ollie Magnus, with all the best youngsters getting signed up, which senior pros do you think Lambert will try and keep for next year? Chambers and Scoobs, he says. I've heard a new deal has been agreed with Alan Judge, which would be a massive coup, but we'll believe it when it's official. Any rumours you've heard to that end?
The Judge one's interesting. It's all a little bit vague at the moment. Alan Judge sort of said it's...
I'm just going to do a video.
You do that and I'll talk.
Yeah, you talk. I'm just going to do a video so people can actually see the kind of surroundings that we are pressed into. As I say, the shower is literally there. So yeah, this is where I'm presenting from, as it were.
some flannels.
Here are the flannels.
Right, Alan Judge, while you're doing that. Alan Judge, there's the 12-month extension option. Normally, historically, those options are always in the club's favour. Basically, the club takes it or they don't. Player has no say. I think this one's a little bit different in terms of Alan Judge described it as predominantly in the club's favour, but I might have a little bit of a say there as well. So I don't know whether there's a clause dependent on whether they stay up, whether they go down, whether there's financial terms, whether other clubs come in, whether that affects it as well. But Paul Lambert certainly last week was talking like a man confident that he'd get it done. Hopefully we can sort it sooner rather than later. Alan Judge, I think, predominantly is going to care about playing regularly and enjoying his football again after such a long-term injury. He's talked about moving his family from London to Suffolk if it all goes well. So my gut feeling, and it is just a gut feeling at the moment, is that I think they might just be able to get this done. Andy?
No other opinions.
It's been a good move for Judge though, hasn't it, in terms of kind of reviving his career?
He's definitely.
Yeah.
You just have to watch him. He's this kind of player anyway, but you just have to watch him. He's so up for this, isn't he? He's clearly enjoying what he's doing. He's enjoying feeding off the crowd. He's enjoying being the centrepiece of the team, and he's enjoying just being on the pitch. And it looks like a really good match. And and hopefully, as Lambert said, hopefully they get that done.
He'll have other options, no doubt, in the summer, but he's got to weigh that up. Like, as Andy says, being the focal point and the fulcrum of a side, the star man that you build the team around, which Paul Lambert will be able to give him assurances, tip of the diamond, you're going to be the man. You know, that may just appeal to him above and beyond going to a lower-end championship club where you might not play week in, week out, and not play in your preferred position.
He's lost 2 years of his career, hasn't he? So, and every time you hear him speak, it's a man that he just wants to play and be happy. And it's a pretty good match so far.
It's also quite beautiful the way he's reviving his career at the club where it almost ended.
Yeah.
Ollie Magnus, you, as part of the other question you asked about senior pros, Jeff and Lambert will try and keep. Me and Hutchie addressed that in the last podcast, the post-Norwich one. Hutchie brought in a list and everything. So go back and listen to that if you haven't already. Harvey Davis, your mate Harvey, selfie.
Yeah, I haven't seen the picture yet. Get that online.
He's probably framed on his wall, mate, at
home.
So. Hot take, Andy and Stu will be on the Sambuca shots at the next Blue Monday Live event.
I was up for it this time around.
Hutchie famously doesn't drink, so that's
not
happening.
I had two beers, mate.
Yeah, only because I had to bend your arm.
Was it peer pressure?
Yeah, you bent my arm for the first one by plying me. And then I got the taste as soon as it hit.
Once you get a taste.
As soon as it hit my lips.
Yeah.
Then I bought another.
As soon as you get the taste, you're in trouble. Jeremy Bowling, a bit concerned about the lingering anti-Hurst narrative in some quarters. Do you not agree that he was dealt a very difficult hand, given all the circumstances, particularly the number of players who actually wanted to leave, Webster, McGoldrick, Waghorn, etc.? Has there been any particular kind
of... Yeah, I do agree with that, actually. I think history, unfortunately, will paint Hurst as being a complete disaster, which, on the face of it, it was. But there were lots of... That is to overlook the circumstances of the situation that he inherited. You know, those players did want to leave, Webster, Waghorn, Garner... he had to, you know, it would have been a limited budget. I think the Webster deal was the one that kick-started it all. You know, that's before anything else followed. You've got a chance to cash in on Webster, who's had injury problems, to raise some of your own budget to go and buy the own players. And I think that's what kick-started it all. And I'm just sort of, as I said at the time, I'm kind of sad that it didn't work out or the way it unravelled for Paul.
Dimitris, great to meet Stuart and Andy on Saturday. Next time, hopefully, you also. Can't fool me, mate. If we stick with this formation, where would Dazelle and Lancaster fit best? It seems Bishop has added more physicality to his game. That's a good point, actually. He's been proper up for it, hasn't he, since he's coming back?
Yeah.
And he's playing well in the middle slots while Judge occupies the point. So where do you reckon Andre Dazelle and Jack Lancaster fit best in the new formation?
I think Lancaster could play in a couple of different positions. I think he could play as one of the strikers. And I think he could play in one of the kind of demanding, marauding, wider diamond midfield roles. I think he could play in either of those.
Dazelle at the base of that, I think definitely that's where he sees his best position, as being that sort of deep ball playing midfielder. It's just whether he's got the muscle for it at the moment, especially in League One, to do that on your own without a fellow holder alongside you is a big ask.
Another midfield-based question from Nick Wells, formerly of the Suffolk Free Press, and a friend of mine. Nick, how are you? Assuming all our midfielders stay and we keep the diamond, which four should be our first choice for next season out of
Scoots, Downs, Nolan, Judge, Bishop and Dizel. So which four of those would you play?
For me, I would play Scoots at the base, assuming you can get him fit again. Mm-hmm. I'd play Downs and Bishop and Judge. Would be my four.
Agreed to you?
I think I'd go with that, yeah.
Okay. FPL Tractor. After Stu and Andy's appearance at the Blue Monday event, who is the biggest traitor in sport? Good question, FPL. Good question. Any answers for that, mate? The biggest traitor in sport? Ashley Cole? I once had a mate who had a theory that if he had 250 grand, Ashley Cole would probably take it and just run around his garden.
If I was if you got ridiculously wealthy overnight winning the lottery or whatever, I'd love to test people's limits with that sort of thing. You know, what could you buy people for?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to get them to play for your Sunday league team. Exactly. Stuff like that.
Yeah. See what they do. Rob Hughes, famously not a fan of general banter, but was shattered down by the noisy majority who love it. He's got three questions, so I'll allow them, Rob. Is there a place in the team now for Cole Skews?
Yes.
Why doesn't the club's free pie offer include a big porker option? Where's the continuity between club and EADT? Have a word with Marcus Stew. Stew?
Well, if we ever do a live event, I think there definitely should be, because the Blue Monday boys put out cupcakes.
Did they?
We'll put out
homemade cupcakes. That seems about right, doesn't it?
I didn't know.
No, I didn't either. I wish I did.
Just saying, cupcakes.
We'll put on a big porker.
And loads
of crisps.
And obviously, there'll be cars available as well, johnbanks.co.uk. And finally, he wants to know, who's that in Stu's Twitter profile banner? Stu, Andy or Mark? I reckon Andy. Setting the scene, Stu's Twitter profile, if you've not been on it, I'm sure you have because everyone loves him. It's a very arty shot of someone silhouetted against the sun gradually falling in the sky, doing what can only be described as a very athletic overhead kick. Rob thinks that's Andy, Stewie, on your Twitter profile.
Why would it ever be me?
Can we just clear that up? That is, in fact, yourself, is it not, Stewie?
When was it taken?
That was in the week after my wedding.
Didn't even know each other then. Wouldn't be me.
Yeah.
2014.
Honeymoon. The pin. Our mate's the pin.
I wasn't on the honeymoon, was I?
No, you wasn't. No, no.
Just to clear, you probably would be now. The pin. Our mate the pin. One of two early entries into the Kings of Anglia Hall of Fame.
We're nearly there with that.
And by celebrating, he's actually changed his avatar from an egg to a pin. Good stuff. With Marcus dishing out loads of freebies to fans, this is the free Portland pie and pint you can read about online now. What is the best freebie you've had as a journo? Good question.
I've got an answer to this.
Yeah.
I'll paint you the Johnston's Paint Trophy Final, 2012, Swindon Tanby, Chesterfield. We arrived and got this box, which included a lunchbox, a Rubik's Cube, a pen, a little pot of paint, a tester pot, and some food, all branded up in Johnston's paint.
Nice. Can you repeat that?
We get sent, in the last few years, we've been sent the official Mitre match.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Unfortunately, you commandeered the last one and gave it to your dog as a chew.
Let's set the scene here. Every year we get sent this ball. Last year, Stu took it home. This year, I said, I'm having that because you had it last year. It'll look good in my trophy room. I didn't realise how expensive the official match balls actually are. Gave it to my dog Benson, obviously almost destroyed it, only to be told that they're actually like 90 quid to buy.
Does this mean can I have it next year?
Yours next year, my friend.
And I'm going to keep it in the office.
You can give it to Jessica.
I had some good press trips back in the day when there was actual press trips going around. They seem to have fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, I've had some good press junkets as well. Adrian Hawes, Wolfenden and Indaba, two young centre-half signed on long-term deals. Are they our future Butcher and Osman type partnership in 2 to 3 years' time? What do you think of their potential?
Butcher and Osborne, that's...
Yeah, that's
no pressure,
no pressure. Yeah. Andy, you've seen more of these two.
I like both of them. And Darba's the one that people probably aren't as aware of yet to make a debut. I think he could very easily be the next Ipswich Town debut. Irish centre-half, strong, quick, good positional sense, vocal...
Confident as well. I've done some media training days at the club with the youngsters as they came through, and he stuck out in my mind as someone who seemed to be a bit more switched on and asking questions and stuff.
He's got all the tools, I think. Very raw, obviously. I like him, and we all know about Luke Wolfenden and what he can do. He's busy learning the dark arts of the game in League Two at the moment, which will
What did Phil Brown say to you? Getting scars?
Yeah, he needs to get a bloody nose. Yeah. He needs to get a few scars on his face.
Particularly enthusiastic about that, wasn't he, Phil Brown?
Yeah, he's since been sacked.
Yeah. Matt Lee, with Lambert today receiving a two-match touchline ban, how big a miss would he be for the next few games? Already addressed that. This is a good one for both of you. Also, I recently interviewed a manager in the groundsman's storeroom. So what is the strangest place you've interviewed someone? I'm a big fan of the pod. Cheers for all you do, guys. No, thank you, Matt. Thanks for being on board. So the strangest place you've ever interviewed someone? Stewie, I know you've got a few good answers to this.
I've got a couple that spring to mind. Jimmy Bullard, I once did. It was some sort of signing meet and greet session at somewhere in town. It was a really small like shop. It wasn't the club store. I can't even remember where it was, but I ended up having to interview him. It was at the peak of Bullard mania where they were selling wigs and all that sort of stuff. And they ushered me into the back and I interviewed him in a changing room, literally like the tightest changing room where you pulled the curtain across, a one-man changing room, nose-to-nose interviewing Jimmy Bullard. I remember that.
What about you, Mick, as well?
Mick was another sort of cupboard one. It was after a game at Bristol City. And so when managers come out post-match, there's a press conference room, but sometimes obviously it depends which manager gets there first, and sometimes one manager's still going. And I think Ipswich had managed to throw away 3 points. It was the first season when they were battling relegation, and Mick was, steam was coming out the ears, absolutely fuming, and he made it clear he was not waiting for whoever the Bristol City manager was to finish. So I kind of got given the sort of hook out of the press conference through the glass by the press officer, and again got shoved into what literally was a store cupboard, and they shut the door behind us, and it was me, I think Phil from TWTD, and Mick in this tiny little space, and
intense.
It was very intense, yeah. That's the angriest still to this day I've seen Mick McCarthy.
Wow, and that's an angry man.
Yeah.
Hutchie?
First time I ever met Paolo Di Canio in my old job was in a disabled toilet at Bristol Rovers.
How? Why?
Because there were not really any media facilities at Bristol Rovers at that time. They were redeving their media room.
Not just that you had locked the door.
I just walked in. No, so we did post-match in a disabled toilet, which is also, I've done another disabled toilet interview with current Stoke manager and former Luton manager Nathan Jones at Colchester last season. That was fun.
So Hutchie specialises in toilet interviews.
They do them in some weird places. Bournemouth, they used to do in what's like an old gym down in the bowels of the stadium. Peterborough is very much like, imagine Phoenix Knights, where you've got like a
nightclub,
an old nightclub with a stage, and you know that's where they do that. That's
Plymouth as well. It's another one with Paolo actually. On at Plymouth, there's that old stand that has since been condemned.
Mm.
We did it standing on the condemned stand. This is like, why the media manager said, yeah, let's go over there.
Health and safety.
We were removed from there, but yeah, we shouldn't have been there. Lots of asbestos apparently.
We need to do more at some point about your working relationship with Mr. Di Canio, so I can imagine.
Oh, you guys would have loved him. He's great.
That's got some good stories. Tom Lawrence, the man who christened me MC Roundhouse. Assuming we want to try and keep Keenan Judge, we'll have to balance the cost of the squad. Lots of youngsters next year. Which senior players will be leaving in this season? Obviously, I think we've already discussed that on the last pod, but I just want to read Tom's contribution out because it's valued by all of us. Brian Wren says he's at the hub with Cian Wren, which I assume is his son.
Yeah.
He's running on what looks to be a treadmill at Nino Severino's gaff down the hub. So he's obviously a bit of an athlete.
He's a young player at Lowestoft.
Is he? So obviously he's obviously a good player because you don't get in there unless you're a decent athlete. See you boys at the Cult Cafe bar for lunch. What are you having? Mine's probably some kind of burger. And then Tom Lawrence back on. If you could spend one day as an animal, what would it be? Which animal would it be? MC Roundhouse is Golden Eagle, obviously, of course. But no idea about the Doctor or Hutch. So if you're an animal, what are you? You're a rabbit, obviously.
I absolutely wouldn't be a rabbit.
No, what would you be then?
I'd want to be some kind of bird because
you
can go wherever you want.
You can fly.
Complete freedom.
Yeah.
Why are you a golden eagle?
I don't know.
An eagle would be ace.
It's an imperial beast.
Or a vulture.
No, because then you've got to eat carrion for a start.
Yeah. I'm up for that if I'm a vulture, aren't I? That's just what I'm up for. I'm not like an animal. I'm not me, if he prefers eating pies and that.
The corpse eater.
Yeah, I'd just be a vulture. I'd eat what a vulture eats. Or I'd be a penguin, because there was They always have a right laugh, don't they?
Yeah, I want to be a bird because then you can fly around everywhere. I'll be a penguin. Nice one.
Look, it's different birds for different needs. Still a bird, mate.
Stewie, what would you be?
Penguin, definitely.
Definitely a penguin. Yeah. I think I'd be a gorilla if I wasn't a golden eagle. Martin Bosanquet, with all the contracts being signed lately, who will still be out of contract in the summer? That's probably a one for another day, I would imagine.
I'd be a shark.
Oh, good shout. Although, demonised, aren't they, sharks?
Wrongly so.
Exactly. Oliver Bowling, still talking about Hirsty, saying, wasn't his points per game record pretty much the same as Lambert's, but Lambert gets none of the same flack. True.
Is it fair to judge Lambert against Hurst's record?
I don't...
At the moment?
It's a talking point. I don't think so. Paul Lambert hasn't had a pre-season with any club since 2014. I think the time to judge him is when he's had that, to be honest. I think he's doing... It's a turd of a season for Ipswich Town, isn't it? But he's doing everything that he can to get any kind of positives out of the season, which, let's be honest, we felt when the change was made in October, the thought was then that this was heading to this, wasn't it?
Mm.
It's not. He hasn't turned it around rapidly, but I think we all felt it was probably heading this way.
Yeah, I'm judging it more on developing a playing identity, developing players in the house, reconnecting with the fans, turning this ship around, and I think there's been more than enough signs, despite results, that there's been a positive impact. I think Andy's right. I think this season's too early to judge. You judge him after a pre-season, a summer transfer window, and there was a comment made at the thing we went to the other night, you know, November time, that's when you can really start to studge.
Oliver also says, I think footy fans find the strong, assertive voice of a Scottish manager strangely reassuring. There's something in that.
Definitely.
Scottish managers do seem to have a bit of a mystique. And finally, let's finish with our old mate, The Pin, who wants to know, what benefits do I get for being part of the KOA Hall of Fame? Bonus podcast chat not available to the public, potentially. Video.
I'll just be sending him a video, wouldn't it? Yeah. If you want it.
If that's what he wants, he can have it. Free membership pack containing I Eat Big Porkers t-shirt. That's maybe something we should look into.
With Stu's face on there.
Stu's face. And the thumbs up.
We're going there again this weekend, aren't we?
Okay, Diner, is it?
Yeah, we will be. Yeah, Wigan.
That brings us...
I might have a big porker.
You've got to now, haven't you?
Hall of Fame. I think we talked about friends of the show. Yeah. Hall of Fame is stepping that up a notch.
I think I refer to it as essentially our Hall of Fame, but we're saying it's not our Hall of Fame.
No, you're a friend of the show.
Okay.
You have to appear on the show to even think about being in any...
Yeah, so getting Hall of Fame, you need to be friend of the show for X number of consecutive seasons.
Oh.
We haven't even done one yet.
Exactly. We've done one full season. But certainly the requirements, at a minimum, you have to interact with us, you have to have left a review, and you have to have done something a little bit extra, like Daryl.
Can I just tell you something else that Daryl's done? He follows John Banks Honda on Twitter.
Yes, Dan.
John Banks Group. Sorry.
Well, there you go. To stand any chance, you've got to follow our sponsors.
Absolutely. John
Banks. Here's another thing. If you buy a car from John Banks, then you automatically become...
Hall of Fame. It's got to be Hall of Fame.
Not straight into Hall of
Fame.
I think Hall of Fame.
You have to be the fan. Yeah, if you buy a car from johnbanks.co.uk, you're instantly the founding member of the Hall of Fame.
Right, done.
That's the way it's going to go, because you're looking at thousands of pads.
We will need proof.
Yeah, we will need proof, absolutely.
I've got the initial rollout of Friend of the Show list is ready, by the way, so next podcast will...
Drop that next podcast.
That's five names.
We have just 7 minutes now, boys, before Stu has to depart and I have to ring someone. So let's quickly wrap this up. We're going to weigh... This weekend, I'm bringing James Webb, who's fighting for a Cage Warriors world title next weekend. Potentially our first MMA world champion from this region. So, yeah, more interesting than football. Anyway, back to football. Wigan away this weekend. Is it a must-win for Town? Have they got to win this game?
Of course they have.
Yeah? Are they going to?
This is going to be an awful game of football, is my prediction, from what I gather about Wigan recently. If the evidence of down here is anything to go by.
The game at Portman Road wasn't great, was it? I wasn't at that one, but it sounds like it was pretty turgid. How long have we been saying these are must-win games, though, yeah, for Ipswich? I feel like we've been saying that since, like, the middle of December.
Well, these two, realistically, they really are.
Got to win this one to stand any chance, and then that game comes and goes, well, we've definitely got to win the next one. And, you know, it's... I just think they've left it too late. I hate to be... I understand why Paul and the players are sort of saying, oh, one big week can turn things, but the games are running out. 9 points, you've got to better... 3 other teams' results on at least 3 weekends. I mean, and then we've got 13 left. I think the time's too late now. But yes, if they're going to do it, they've got to win not just Saturday, they've got to win the next two.
But will they? Let's have a prediction to finish off, please. Hutchie,
it's going to be a miserable, miserable game.
He's rubbing his eyes and looking thoroughly pissed off what he says.
I need to have a shower. Yeah, they're going to win. 1-0.
I don't think you believe that, actually. Anyway, Stewie.
They can win. Yeah. They can win. I think Ipswich could... If they play like they have in the last couple of games, they can rise above awful games, maybe.
I haven't even thought about a prediction yet. Why not? I'll go for now. I retain the right to change that prediction, but why not? They'll scrap their way to a... 1-0 or something.
Your prediction is only official once it's written down in the Eastern Daily Times, so you can do whatever you want.
I'm saying 7-0, Aaron Dryden getting 5. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I know he's not at the club anymore, but why not? could be a surprise. So thanks very much for listening to us and putting up with our mid-podcast change of scenario. I quite like it here, boys, actually. It's all right, isn't it?
I have concerns over echo.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it might be an echo. Also, those flannels look quite hard. I'm not sure about those flannels. Don't touch it, Stu. What are you doing? All sorts of stuff on there we don't want to know about. If you have enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Hit subscribe on your usual podcast providers. Follow us on all our social media, Kings of Anglia on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And I'll put the video on so you can see the surroundings in which we find ourselves. Hutchie, start the shower.
I don't know how.
Go on, turn the shower on. I want to jump in there.
It's soaking wet.
Let's have a... I'll tell you, you've got to pull this.
Go on then.
There you go.
Yeah, that's worked.
Can you hear this?
Here we go. Don't get the phone too close. So there you go. We're all about to jump into the shower. Have a nice little group hug. We'll see you next week.